Okay, good morning. Freilich and Thanksgiving to everybody. Want to just open by thanking our sponsors for today's year, Heidi and Alan Fuchs, memory of Joy Emzel, Freda Bas Tzedek Halevi, and the learning should be Iloi Nishmasa. I want to thank the Beis Medrash Committee for all the hard work of putting this together. Taking the advantage of the time that we have off is Megala, reveals that we want to be learning during the other times also, but other tzrachim, other things that we need to be doing. So these opportunities on these legal holidays to spend time together engaged in Talmud Torah, engaged in learning and being able to do it, Baruch Hashem, both in person and on Zoom, as part of our, very, very safely, but trying to make sure that we have the opportunity to be in shul together is very, very, very significant. So yeshar koyach to Henry, Stephen, Danny, and everybody else involved in the Beis Medrash. And you will see upcoming a few other shiurim that are in the works for other legal holidays that are coming up. So please take advantage of all of those opportunities as well. It's a special kavod to welcome Rav Shai Shachter to Shul. He's certainly not a stranger to our Shul, to our community, involved in so many different projects on a national level and in his own community in Woodmere. As a rabbi and a Rosh Beis Medrash at Yang Israel of Woodmere, he has very, very quickly and indelibly left his mark on that community and the community at whole. And the passion and the energy and the excitement that he brings to Talmud Torah, to his programming. We've actually collaborated together on the program on Motzai Shabbos, or the conversations. I'll be speaking this week together with our very own Boaz Nagar about his father's story, who was a guard and executioner of Adolf Eichmann, Yimach Shemo. So please take advantage of that as well. But really somebody who is a very, very special person, somebody is a dear friend, and I think somebody that we can all learn from. So I don't need to take up any more of your time. We have an opportunity to learn. So without any further ado, Rav Shachter will speak on the topic of Lehodos Lehalel, reflecting on Hakaras HaKov. So with Kavod Gadol, Rav Shai Shachter.
Do we appreciate using?
Yes.
No? Okay. Either way is fine. Okay, good morning everybody, and welcome to all those who are here in person and to all those who are joining us virtually as well. So many wonderful faces on here, some of whom I recognize, and some of whom I cannot see. So let me begin. I had a very complicated week, and that's not why you all came here to hear about my week. We, Baruch Hashem, had a baby 5 weeks ago. Everything was going fine until a couple of days ago when we ended up in the hospital. And I was in the hospital for 4 days, came back late last night, we were discharged. And then I said, wow, I'm scheduled to speak in Teaneck tomorrow morning. So, Baruch Hashem, the baby is okay. And I'm here, but I didn't even have a chance to shave, for those who are wondering why I would show up this way. But I'm happy to be here, and I guess an appropriate topic for this morning is something that I guess is appropriate for myself, and something that I guess is worthy of our consideration at any time of year, specifically on Thanksgiving, certainly around the time of Hanukkah, about our opportunity and our appreciation to be grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So first off, I want to thank all of you for coming today. I can't remember, since I went into the Rabbanus 10 years ago, I can't remember a week that it was Thursday and I hadn't given a shiur at all for the entire week. So this is my first shiur of the week, so I thank you for that wonderful opportunity and thank you for coming. I specifically thank the Fuchses for arranging this wonderful shiur and for being such good friends and always participating together virtually as well. We've had the opportunity now to participate many times. And we hope that our Divrei Torah today would be an Ilui HaNeshama for Freda Bas Tzedek Halevi, Joy Emzel. She should have an Aliyas HaNeshama from all that we will share today. I thank Rabbi Zatz, Rabbi Weinberger, and the entire committee for your tireless efforts to promote Talmud Torah. This is an amazing comment of the Sfas Emes. The Ger Rebbe writes that When the Navi Yeshaya describes the Beis HaMikdash, no problem, lights out. So when the Navi Yeshaya describes, what are we trying to do?
Make it brighter, boxes.
I'm okay. It's fine. So the Sfasemis writes that when the Navi Yeshaya describes the Beis HaMikdash, he says, Beis Kodshenu v'sifartenu asher hilulucha avosenu. Happens to be that is the pasuk that we use when unfortunately we have to rip Kriya. So the Mechaber says that you're supposed to recite a pasuk from the Navi Yeshaya, Beis Kodshenu v'sifartenu asher hilulucha avosenu. And the Sfasemis writes how unusual it is that when describing the Beis HaMikdash, the one description that's given is Asher Hilalucha Avoseinu, that that's the place where the Jewish people were able to praise and to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Writes the Sfasemis, it would seem that Bizman Hazeh, as much as we praise, as much as we thank the Ribono Shel Olam, it's not the same. We're missing the important aspect, the important element of gratitude, because that only can be fulfilled in its fullest extent in the Beis HaMikdash. And he says Hanukkah, which as we know is a, in a way, we try to replicate the experience of Beis HaMikdash, the menorah, Haneiros Halalu Kodeshem. So writes the Sfasemis that perhaps on Hanukkah it's an opportunity for us to tap in to that aspect of Beis HaMikdash, of Asher Hilalucha Avoseinu. So although he writes that we don't have the opportunity to do this on an ongoing basis, to have that elevated status of Hakaras HaTov of Hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we would in the Beis HaMikdash, we have that opportunity on Hanukkah, which is why we refer to it as a time of Lahodos Ulahalo. So I know that it's now already Chodesh Kislev, it's a week away from Hanukkah, it's an exciting time of year, and it's an opportunity for all of us to think about this aspect of our lives, about Halel Vahodah, about Hakaras HaTov. So the Medrash writes in the very beginning of Sefer Bereishis, Bereishis Bara Elokim. Surprisingly, the Medrash has three comments on this pasuk. What does it mean, Bereishis Bara Elokim? So we all know what it means, but the Medrash feels that there's something else lurking behind the words. There's something else that is intended in that phrase. Says the Medrash that perhaps it means, Bishvil Yisrael Shenikra Bereishis. Maybe it means the reason, the justification for the creation of the world was because at some point later on in history there would be a Jewish people, and they are referred to as Bereishis, and therefore as a result, the world was created. That was a good enough reason for the world to have been created. Reason number two, says the Medrash, is because Bishvil Torah Shenikra Reishis. Perhaps the reason why the world was created is because at some point in history there would be a Torah. Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. The Torah is referred to as Reishis, and therefore it was worthy for the world to have been created because at some point there would be a Torah. But then the Medrash writes a surprising comment that perhaps the reason why is because Bishkus Habikurim. The reason why the world was created is because there would be a time when the Jews would have a mitzvah of Bikurim. And the entire world was worthy of being created for that mitzvah alone. It's a troubling comment. The Jewish people are a major entity. The Torah is a major factor of the world. The Bible, many nations of the world believe in that as well and stand and live by it. How does Bikurim come into this category? How does Bikurim join that list? Seems almost out of place. And the obvious understanding of the Medrash that many explain is, when a farmer comes to the Beis HaMikdash and offers his Bikurim, it's an opportunity for that farmer to express his feelings of gratitude. It's an opportunity for that farmer to say that he acknowledges, that he recognizes the blessing, the bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given him. Asher nasata li Hashem. Ve'anisa ve'amarta, he has to stand up in the Beis HaMikdash and declare that everything that I have is because you, God, have given it to me. I understand that it's not on my own. I understand that I invested, but I know that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who ultimately gave it all to me, and therefore he is grateful. Therefore he is indebted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because of that sense of appreciation, because of that sense of gratitude and thankfulness, that is why the Medrash here writes that B'schus Bikurim, for Bikurim alone, it was worthy of the world being created, which is really what the Ramban comments in Parshas Bo. It's a very famous passage of the Ramban. Never could say it over enough times, but the Ramban has such an amazing comment. Writes the Ramban, if you were able to boil down what the entire experience of life is all about, we have 613 mitzvahs. Our religion is a multifaceted religion. We have many different places where we're going to put our attention, many different places where we need to invest of our time. But writes the Ramban, if we were going to boil it down to one objective, what is the world, what is the experience of life all about? Let's read the Ramban together in number Beis. Kavanas kol ha-mitzvos. God gave us 613 mitzvos, that is true. But if you want to boil it all down to one common theme, one common thread, he says the reason why is because shenamin be'elokeinu. Number one, writes the Ramban, it is that we should believe in God. If you don't believe in God, then why would you perform, why would you observe any of his mitzvos? So obviously we need to believe in God. And number two, he says, this should give us pause, it should give us an opportunity, v'noda elav shehu bara anu. It should give us a chance to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By being engaged in mitzvos throughout the experience of life, it gives us an opportunity to constantly and consistently thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything that we have. I was just thinking the other day, I had a lot of time to think in the hospital, and I was thinking a lot about it. We make a bracha, Barein of Hashos Rabos V'Chesronan. So many have asked, why do we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for creating us with Chesronos? We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for creating us with deficiency. Wouldn't life have been better without any deficiencies, without any problems? So some, the classical interpretation is, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the whole package. And we know that life comes along with good, life comes along with bad. That's the way life is for everybody. And at different stages of life, we encounter different challenges. And we thank the Ribono Shel Olam for the whole package. Because we understand that life is, as we said, multifaceted. Life has many different sides, many different shades to it. And that's what we thank for. But there are some Bali Musar who suggest that perhaps we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Barei Nefashos Rabos V'Chesronan. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu not for the overall perspective of giving us all the experiences of life together, but rather we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes indeed, for those Chesronos. Imagine a child goes to Israel for the year. I assume many of our children here have gone or will go to Eretz Yisrael for the year. And there are different methods that are chosen for how we help that child while they are there for the year. So there are some parents who give a credit card and say, whatever you need, whatever you want, just take care of yourself. I'm not saying one is better or worse, I have no idea. There are some parents who say, once a month we're going to send X amount of dollars, and then that should be enough to take care of you. Some parents who say, every time you need something, you'll call me. And I'll give you whatever you need, but you'll call me every time you need something. I want to know what you're spending on, I want to know what you need it for, I want to be responsible. There are different methods of how we do it. That parent who gives their child a credit card and says, you're on your own, take care of yourself, that relationship is at a loss. As much as it's nice for a parent to give unconditional love and just say, I'll give you everything at any time, there's something lost in an opportunity there. That a child never feels that there's anything lacking. A child never feels I need to reach out to a parent to have what it is that I need from them. Not that we should hold our children hostage, but the point is it's an opportunity for a relationship. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Barei Nefashos Rabos V'Chesronan. If every moment of life was perfect, if life just went on autopilot, we would never have an opportunity to reflect, we would never have an opportunity to be grateful, to think about anything. When I see a five-week-old baby, my child, in the hospital, hooked up to every machine possible, and he has things all over his chest, and he's wearing a neuro cap, and they have all kinds of tests being run on him, and he's getting chest x-rays, and he's having neuro scans, and you're watching all of this go on, and you say to yourself how amazing it is that when a child is born, and there's nothing going wrong, that we just don't ever reflect, that we just don't think about it. Borei nefashos rabos v'chesronan, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us opportunity to recognize what life is all about. The Ribono Shel Olam gives us an opportunity to pause and to think how lucky, how grateful we need to be for the experiences of life that we have that sometimes are deficient, that sometimes are not exactly the way we had charted them out to be, and yet that is part of the great experience of life. Because it gives us opportunity to appreciate how lucky we are to have the lives that we do. And therefore, says the Ramban, Ein lanu tam acher b'yitzira harishona. God doesn't need our mitzvahs, God doesn't need our Torah. Why are we here? Why are we doing all of this? Rather, God gave it to all of us in order that sheyeda ha'adam v'yoda le'elokav shebaro. The objective of all of those mitzvah experiences, of our religious experience as Jews, is just that we should have the opportunity to come to know God, to come to recognize His presence, and to thank Him, and to be grateful for how lucky we are to be in this existence with Him. It's a very beautiful comment of the Targum Yonasan. Just a few weeks, we're going to read about the Birchas Yaakov in Parshas Vayechi, where Yaakov Avinu goes out of his way to give each of his children a bracha that was matim lahem, that was befitting for them, really spoke to their potential. When he comes to Yehuda, he says, Yehuda, ata yoducha achecha. What does it mean, ata yoducha achecha? So some suggest it means, your brothers will know you. Yehuda will be famous. He will be the head of Malchus. Yehuda is royalty. Yehuda is the leader of the family. Everybody will know Yehuda. But the Targum Yonasan says, no, that's not what it means. The truth is, writes the Targum Yonasan, it should have been, why am I known as a Yehudi? If I'm from Shevet Reuven, I should be known as a Reuveni or a Shimoni. Why is it that I'm referred to collectively, all of us, as Yehudim? Suggests the Targum Yonasan, that's what it means. Ata yoducha achecha. Your brothers will all be known and referred to by your name. Why? Perhaps the reason why is because the whole essence of Yehuda's name is Hapam Odes Hashem. It's what a Jew's essence is all about. About being a Yehudi, about being a person who is always eternally grateful. In that incessant experience of life, always looking to be grateful, always looking to understand the gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives all of us, which is what we say in Shabbos, in the davening in Nishmas. Shekein chovas kol hayitzurim. This is the obligation, it's the opportunity, it's the mandate and expectation of all living creatures. Lehodos, lehalel, leshabeach, lefoer, leromeim, lehader, levorech, leader, ulekalis. That's what we do. It's the expectation of all of humanity. This is so much a fundamental aspect of our existence. And it's so much what a Jew is meant to be about, which is why we are all referred to as Yehudim. When we think about gratitude, about gratefulness in general, it's not always so obvious to us to figure out who it is that we need to be grateful to. What I mean by that is the following. There's a pasuk in Sefer Shemos. Moshe Rabbeinu, as we know, has to run away from Egypt, and he goes to Midian. After he comes there, he encounters the daughters of Yisro. He understands that they're going to welcome him into the house, and he has a wonderful experience there. Well, on that very day, it was surprising to Yisro that his daughters came home so quickly from the well. Normally, it took them far longer. So, Vatomarna, Yisro asks his children, if you look at number Gimel, Yisro asks his children, how did you come home so quickly today? Usually, it takes you a longer time. And they responded, Ish Mitzri Hitzilanu Miyad Haroin. There was an Egyptian who saved us from being abused by the well. Now the Medrash asks an obvious question. V'chi Mitzri haya Moshe? Why is Moshe referred to as an Egyptian? We know that he was a Jew. So how is it that Moshe is referred to as an Egyptian in this pasuk? Well, the Medrash gives one obvious answer. Levusho Mitzri v'hu Ivri. Moshe Rabbeinu was dressed like an Egyptian. After all, he ran away from Egypt. He was living in the palace of Paro. The first stop that he went to was here in Midian. He didn't have a chance to change any clothing to look any different. Maybe he didn't even know how to look different. And he goes down there, and he looks like an Egyptian. So that's the way they refer to him. Parenthetically, there happens to be an amazing medrash somewhere else about Moshe Rabbeinu when he hears that he's being referred to as a Mitzri and he doesn't even respond. The medrash has an amazing comment. I think it's in Parshas Va'eschanan, where there we're told that Moshe Rabbeinu is begging for his life. I think I mentioned it here at some point. In the past year, it seems that nobody remembers, which is fine. So, I think you remember, it seems, shaking your head. Somebody. So, the Medrash there writes that there is a contrast between Moshe Rabbeinu and Yosef HaTzadik. Moshe Rabbeinu offers 515 tefillos. The Gemara says in Brachos, Tav Kuf Tesvav tefillos. All that he should be able to be given access and entry into the land of Eretz Yisrael. But we don't really know what he said in all of those petitions. We don't know what he asked for. Obviously, he wanted to go, but what right did he think he had to go into Eretz Yisrael? The Medrash shares one conversation that he had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an amazing conversation. And the Medrash says, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Mipnei ma atzmosav shel Yosef nechnasem la'aretz, va'ani eini nechnas la'aretz. Why is it fair that Yosef is allowed entry into the land of Eretz Yisrael? As we know, they carried Yosef's bones throughout their journey in the Midbar. They brought them into Eretz Yisrael. Va'ani, and I, Moshe Rabbeinu, who gave up my entire life for your people. Look how much I put on the line for them. Look what I've done. Look what I invested. This is my whole existence. You don't let me, you think I'm less than Yosef? You don't let me in? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, Mishahode ba'artzo nikvar ba'artzo. Somebody who's proud of his affiliation with the land of Eretz Yisrael has a right to go into the land. And somebody who is embarrassed, somebody who's ashamed of their connection to Eretz Yisrael, has no right to enter at all. Where do we find that Moshe Rabbeinu was ever embarrassed of his connection to Eretz Yisrael? Well, the Medrash says, on one occasion, Moshe Rabbeinu, you were referred to as an Egyptian. They called you an Ish Mitzri. How does a Jew's blood not boil when he is referred to as an Egyptian? How are you not jumping out of your skin, Moshe Rabbeinu, when somebody called you an Egyptian? How did you not correct them immediately and say, no, you got it wrong, I'm a Jew? And Yosef, the first minute he's given an opportunity to identify himself, he says, Ganov gunavti me'eretz ha'ivrim. I'm not ashamed, I'm not embarrassed, I'm proud of my connection to the people of Israel, to the land of Israel. And God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, if that's the way you see it, you have a right to go into the land. If you're embarrassed and you're ashamed, then you may as well stay out. It's a powerful comment. It's an amazing perspective, even Moshe Rabbeinu. But getting back to our Medrash here, so why was he referred to as an Ish Mitzri? And the Medrash gives the first interpretation, which is very simple. He was wearing Egyptian clothing. Second interpretation, writes the Medrash. Perhaps what it means is, there was some kind of belief in the times of Chazal. Obviously, the medications that they had back then were not similar to the ones we use today. And all the remedies that they would use are insignificant in our medical community of today. But one of the remedies that they believed in was, if somebody was ever bitten by a snake, so the way that you would cure yourself was, you had to run to a body of water that was closest to where you were standing. And if you got to the water faster than the snake, then you would be healed. If the snake got to the water first, then you potentially would lose your life. That was the belief in the times of Chazal. So the Medrash writes, somebody is bitten by a snake, and he knows that the first thing he needs to do is run to the water. He runs to the local pond, to the local pool, whatever it might be, and he sees there's a child drowning in the river, drowning in the pool. So he jumps in and he saves the child's life. And the parents are standing there and they're so overwhelmed. What an amazing course of events that you just so happened to be walking by and you know CPR and you know how to save him and you jumped in and you took him out. And he says, don't be grateful to me, you got to thank the snake. Because if not for that snake, I would never have been here. And the Medrash writes, Moshe Rabbeinu, when they wanted to thank him, Moshe Rabbeinu responds to them and he says, don't thank me. You have to thank the Ish Mitzri. Let's remind ourselves, why did Moshe Rabbeinu end up running away? Why did he come to Midian? Because there was an Egyptian who was after his life. And as a result, he had to run away. And he ends up in Midian and he helps these women and he says, I don't deserve the thanks. I'm here. You have to think about the reason why I'm here. You have to thank the person who's behind my being here. And sometimes that's a very difficult thing to do. We interface with a lot of people, and it's easier to be grateful to those people that we are in contact with directly. It's very hard to retrace the steps and to think about what made us be in contact with that person. What made us have the opportunity that we now have, not only with the ones who are most obvious in the equation. It's a much more difficult task. But I think it's what Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching us here. Ish Mitzri Hitzilanu, the truth is, the one who saved you today is not me, Moshe. It's that Egyptian who made me end up here. Who made my life turn in this direction. And I often think about that point. You know, it's very, very difficult for us to think like this. And I think if we started to consider all the possibilities, we would spend our whole day doing this. But I think about it in very simple terms. There was a Shadchan who I was introduced to. Actually, I said to myself, I don't think she'll ever understand what I want. She ended up making our shidduch, of course. It's always that person who you think is not going to do it. So tell your children they should have their eyes set on a shadchan who's never going to help them. And it seems to work. So I'm very grateful to that person. And we send a card or we send a gift on our anniversary. And we're very grateful to this individual. Wonderful. Actually a member of this community. Shoshi Kirshner. Grew up here. So, she's our shadchan. Wonderful. I always think, who introduced me to her? Who's that friend of mine who dragged me to her house to meet her? I never thank that person. I was actually annoyed at that person at the time. But I never thank that person. I happened to be in Israel for a week. I was visiting. They're like, oh, you got to meet her. You really got to meet her. She knows a lot of guys. I'm like, leave me alone. I'm here for a week. I'm not, you know, not interested right now. But do I ever go back and thank that person? That's this medrash here, Moshe Rabbeinu. Ish mitzri yitzilanu. You know, you're grateful to people who provide services to you, but not always do you think about who it is that introduced you to that person. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu teaches us here. Sometimes we say to ourselves, you know, somebody did something for me, but really wasn't a big deal for that person. So it helped me, but it really was so simple for that person to do. And what's my obligation anyway? What's the big deal? And the Medrash addresses this as well. In just a few weeks, we're going to read the painful story of Yosef and his brothers. And there, as we know, Reuven had a pivotal role in all that went on. There were many different personalities involved in everything. But at the very beginning of the story, when Yosef is thrown into the pit, Rashi tells us that the brothers were deliberating, the brothers were fighting about it. It wasn't so clear what they were going to do. But they all came to a decision that this was the right thing. Yosef, for whatever reason, needs to be thrown away from the family, needs to be get, you know, we need to rid ourselves of this problem called Yosef. And that's what they do. All of a sudden, the Pasuk tells us, Vayishma Reuven Vayatzileu Mi'adam. Reuven hears what's going on, and he saves his brother Yosef. He takes him out of the pit. The Medrash asks, where have you been, Reuven? We've been discussing this all day. We got to the point where we came to a conclusion that this is what needs to be done. We threw him into the pit because that's what needed to be done. And now you show up? Where are you? Where have you been? We've been talking about this since 7 o'clock this morning. So where has he been? Writes the Medrash. Well, maybe this was the day that Yosef had to take care, that Reuven had to take care of his father. They had an elderly father at home. He needed someone to stay home with him. So it's true, all the brothers were out in the field. They were all talking to each other. Reuven happened not to be there. He had his shift taking care of his father, Yaakov. Now that his shift was over, he comes out to look for his brothers. Here's what's going on. He says, this is unacceptable. We can't allow this to go on. And immediately when he hears all that went on during the day, he takes his brother out of danger. It's the first interpretation. Writes the Medrash a second shot. Maybe it means Reb Nechemya Omer, Amar Reuven. Reuven says, Ani Abachar, Ve'ein Hasir Chon Tala Yelabi. Yosef was thrown into a pit, and yes, it was not my fault. It was all of us together, but in the end of the day, I am the oldest child, and I need to take responsibility, because history is going to go down as saying that the oldest child in this family could have stopped it. The oldest child should have been responsible. And Reuven says, I can't have that on my hands. But Yishma Reuven, as he thinks about it, and he realizes how history will remember him, he understands he has no choice but to take his brother out of danger. Number three, Rabbanan Amri, and here's an amazing point. Amar Reuven, how can I not save my brother? Don't I owe it to him? Hu mona osiyem achai ve'eni matzilo? He counted me amongst all the brothers, and I'm not going to save him? What is he referring to? So we know Yosef had dreams. And in his dreams, he sees that there are kochavim, that there are a number of stars, and he sees that there are a number of wheat stalks that are bowing down. And Reuven says, let me count. How many stars were there in his dream, and how many wheat, you know, stalks of wheat were there in that dream, in that image? Obviously, he counted me among the brothers. I thought, after I made the mistake with the bed, after I started up with my father, I thought I was an outcast in the family. And my brother Reuven is the first person that made me understand that no. You're still welcome. You're still a part of the family. My brother counts me amongst the rest of the members of the family, and I'm not willing to go out and stick my neck out for him. I have no choice. Vayishma Ruvain Vayatzileo Miyadam. Ruvain goes, he steps up against all of his brothers, and he saves Yosef from danger. Now think about that. Yosef didn't even do anything. All he did was mention the images that were put into his head in a dream. He did nothing. And yet, Reuven says, it gave me a sense of comfort. It made me feel better. And I need to therefore be grateful to him. You know, somebody was talking to me right after Yom Kippur, and they said it was the first year that they would have had to say Yizkor. It's a big discussion whether you should say it in the first year of Avelis or not. And he said he walked out, he didn't say Yizkor the first year. And somebody came, as they were walking out of shul at the time, somebody came and just said a nice word to him, not even realizing what was going through his head, just said, you know, how are you doing, how's your family? And the man said he burst out crying. He said it meant so much to him that here he was struggling as he was walking out of Yizkor, and he's not really respecting his parents because he should really be saying a Kel Mali for them, but he wasn't comfortable doing it, and he didn't do it. He wasn't sure what the minig was. And he went outside, and then somebody was nice to him, just walking by in the hallway. I said, you should go thank that person. They have no idea. They didn't even mean to help you. They were just trying to be nice, as people should be. They didn't even realize how much they helped you, but it doesn't matter. When somebody does something for us, even if it was not a major investment of their time or energy, but if it's something that was meaningful to us, if it's something that was helpful to us, we owe it to that person. We owe it to them because we benefited from something that they may have done, regardless of how much or how little they had to invest of themselves to make that happen. So, we understand how important this is, but if you take it even a step further, when Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen at the Sneh to lead the Jewish people, so the Medrash writes, amazingly, imagine if God would show up and appear to any of us, and he would have a conversation and say, you know, I want you to lead the Jewish people. So, who wants to lead the Jewish people? Let's be honest. No one. But if God would come and tell any of us, it's your job, it's for you. I'll be there with you. Don't worry, I'm going to be there, I'm going to take care of you. This is what it is, it's important for you to do this. How can you say no? Of course he wouldn't say no. Well, Moshe Rabbeinu writes the Medrash, 7 days, he's in a dialogue, he's fighting with the Ribono Shel Olam for 7 days. He doesn't want to be the leader. And he says, why not take Aaron? Why not this one? Why not? He's giving all kinds of excuses. I'm a kavad peh, kavad lashon. I don't speak well. I'm not charismatic. Not my job. I really don't know how to do this. My brother's older than me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not going to hear any of it. Finally, he says, Libasof. After the whole deliberation, 7 days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, look, we can keep fighting about this. In the end, I'm going to win. I am God, after all. So I'm going to have my way. So either we can move on with the conversation and figure out how we're going to execute the plan, or we can just stand here and keep fighting. But in the end, I want you to understand, I'm going to have my way, I'm going to win. So Moshe Rabbeinu finally gives in, he realizes he has no choice. He agrees that he's now going to turn around, travel back to Mitzrayim, take the Jewish people out of Egypt, and liberate the Jewish people forever. Wonderful. Writes the Medrash, Moshe Rabbeinu is on his way, and then he realizes, nope, I got to turn around. Got to turn around. What's more important than millions of Jews who are stuck in Mitzrayim for a few hundred years under terrible, oppressive conditions? What's more important than that? What are you turning around for? Writes the Medrash, let's see carefully. Vayelech Moshe. Moshe went vayashav al yeser chosno number hey. B'shal she'amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when God said ve'ata lecha ve'ashlachacha al paro. Amar lo, he says, ribon ha'olamim. I know that this is my job and I understand and I agree that I'm going to do whatever it is that you ask me to do. However, right now, I need a few minutes. I need a few days. I'm not able to go ahead with it just yet. Why? Because for all the time that I was here, stuck in Midian, in a foreign land, I didn't speak the language, I didn't know the culture at all. Yisro invited me into his house. He cared for me. He tended to all of my needs. And I'm like a child to him. Umisheo poseach pischo lachavero nafsho chayevlo. Somebody who opens his home to another person, the beneficiary, the recipient, owes that individual his life. So God, I appreciate the fact that you have full confidence in me. I thank you for giving me this great challenge and this great opportunity. But I can't leave yet before I say thank you to Yisrael. Look what he's done for me. I've always found this to be an astounding comment. You have the entire Jewish people waiting for you. They've been under very intensely oppressive conditions. God says it's in your hands to save them. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I still need to be a mensch. It's more important than everything else. I still need to just be a mensch. And it's going to take a few more days, and I'm sorry, but there's no other way to go about it. I need to say thank you to Yisrael. And even though it's going to hold up the plan by a few days, that's what needs to be. And it's fascinating to me. It's fascinating. For anyone who's in public service, you struggle with this often. On the one hand, you have personal needs that you need to take care of. You have people that you owe your time to more than anybody else. On the other hand, you have a community that's looking to you to be there for them. And it's a very delicate balance. And Moshe Rabbeinu tells us here, don't forget, with all of the important things that you think you need to do in your life, don't ever forget that you first need to be a mensch. More important than anything else, more important than any communal obligation. You can explain it later. Your first obligation is to be grateful, to be nice, to be a mensch to those people who were there for you when you needed them. In Nishmas, every Shabbos and Yom Tov, we say such a beautiful description of our praise, of our gratitude, of our feelings that we express to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in the middle of that, we say that the Ribono Shel Olam is Hamuhulal B'Rav HaTish Bachos. So in the Sefer Nefesh HaRav, my father writes in the name of the Rav that this is a very strange comment. Hamuhulal B'Rav HaTish Bachos. Do we believe that we only owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu most of our gratitude? Don't we all believe that our entire lives are in His hands? So what does it mean, Berov HaTish Bachos? That most of our praise goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the rest goes somewhere else. How do you understand that? And the Rav explained based on a comment of the Chovas HaLevavos. Think about it as follows. In New Jersey, you're not allowed to fill up gas on your own, correct? So in the winter, it's a great blessing. You don't have to get out of the car. By us in New York, you know, we go out, sometimes it helps us, sometimes it doesn't. But there's an expectation that you're going to tip the person, the attendant, who helps you fill up the gas. Is that correct? No? I always do. Okay. I guess I only do it once a year when I come out here. But okay, that was a bad example. Let me try something else. I'm sorry. Anyone here ever been to a restaurant? Okay, they have restaurants in New Jersey. Do you serve yourself the food, or there's a waiter or a waitress? So now that we've gotten that straight, so you have somebody who comes and serves you the food. There's an expectation that you're going to give them a tip. Why? You ever wonder, why do you need to give a tip? You often wonder, right? So they're being paid to do this job. I don't ever get a tip for what I do. This is what's expected of me. It's what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't know how many other people have in their offices, whatever it is that they do, you don't get a tip. Maybe you get a bonus every once in a while, something. But why should you tip the waiter or the waitress when they're doing what they're paid to do? They're being paid a salary. So what's that all about? How do you understand that? So the Chovas HaLevavos says as follows. It's really a quote from a Gemara Baba Kama. Chamra lemar v'tivusa l'shakya. That's what the Gemara says. You go to a party, and you have somebody who paid for the party, and yet you say thank you to the waiter who comes over and serves you the meal. What does that have to do with the waiter? You should go thank the person who made the party. So obviously you do thank that person as well, but why thank all the middlemen? What do they have to do with anything? They're being paid to do their job, and the Gemara answers, the Chavos HaLevavos explains it. If we would live life in this kind of mindset, imagine how far that can go. So, a couple is married. There are certain expectations of each part of that union, of each part of that marriage. A husband has to contribute whatever it is that they make up amongst themselves. He's going to do X, Y, and Z. The wife is going to do X, or whatever. However they make up the division of roles to run their home, to run their family, that's the way it goes. Why should I ever say thank you to my wife when I come home and I have something waiting for me that I expected her to do? If I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do, then she wouldn't do what she should do. We can live an entire life like that. And writes the Chavos HaLevavos, you know what it's going to lead to? In the end, we'll say, we shouldn't thank anybody in the world. Why? Because after all, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want me to have this delicious meal, he wouldn't have given me the money to pay for the meal. He wouldn't have given me the opportunity to have a car, to go drive to the restaurant, to sit here and enjoy. And if God didn't want me to be married, then I wouldn't be married to this person. If he didn't want this person to do great things for me, they wouldn't. So really, I shouldn't say thank you to anybody because it all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What kind of world would that be? Writes the Chavos HaLevavos, we need to train ourselves to be grateful people. And the way to do that is to thank everybody that helps us in any way, even though we could give 1,001 reasons why maybe we don't have to. Yeah, when you think about it, why am I thanking the waiter or the waitress? Why am I tipping the person who gives me the gas? Why should I tip them? They're doing their job. They're doing what they're supposed to do. The answer is because if I don't train myself to be a grateful person to all those who I have an opportunity to interact with, in the end, I will deny the existence of God himself. And my father told me that that can be proved from Sukkim and Chumash, actually. We're told, Vayakam melech chadash al ha'aretz asher lo yada es Yosef, right? Oh, we just had an election. So, there is a new president who doesn't necessarily feel all of the allegiances that the last president had. He has a new administration, new people. That's the way it goes. But how can you not know Yosef? It's true that a new president is going to come in, have a new chief of staff, have a new secretary of state, have a new secretary of treasury. Everything's going to be different. That's understandable. But do you think a new president doesn't know Abraham Lincoln? Does a new president not know George Washington? How can you not know Yosef? He is the father of this land, the father of this country. Look what he did. He's the only reason why Mitzrayim is still on the map. You forgot about him? I understand that he's no longer a part of your cabinet. He's dead. But he's a major part of your history. How'd you forget? And the Medrash there writes, when Paro forgot about Yosef, the Medrash says, Kalakofer betavaso shel chavero. Anyone who forgets to be grateful to their friend, libasof kofer betavaso shel makom, in the end, you will deny the existence of God. How do you know? Because this same Paro who says, I don't recognize the great sense of gratitude that I owe to Yosef, in the end, when Moshe Rabbeinu approaches him, he says, who is this God that you're talking about? That's the way it goes. Starts with not recognizing the people in our lives. It ends up saying, Lo yadati es Hashem. I don't know who God is either. If you can't live a life of recognition, then you'll never recognize even the ultimate being in your life. Adam Arishon, the same thing. A few generations into the creation of the world, we have the painful story of the Dar HaFlaga. Very strange, unusual story. Where they're going and setting up a whole army to fight against the Ribbono Shel Olam. But how are they referred to in Chumash? They are called Bnei HaAdam. Aren't we all the children of Adam? Why are they referred to as Bnei HaAdam? The Medrash says the reason why is because these are the children of the ingrateful Adam. What happened? Adam, when God came to talk to him, he says, oh, it's not my fault. Aisha, it's my wife. It's her problem. Why do you give this wife to me? Look what she's doing. She's destroying my life. That's the way you respond? That's the way you react to God giving you such an amazing gift? God gives you a wife, and he gives you an opportunity to have a relationship, and that's what you say? You turn around and spit in his face? Writes the Medrash, you know what comes from Adam HaRishon? Just a few generations later, you have a whole group of people who stand up and say, we are Bnei HaAdam, we're the children of that same Adam HaRishon, that ingrate. And as a result, they rebel against God himself, because God doesn't exist either. The Rav said that's what it means. It's true. In the abstract, we owe everything solely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and no one else. If God didn't want us to have all the things in our lives, we wouldn't have it. It's true. But if we would only reserve our gratitude for the Ribono Shel Olam himself, in the end, we wouldn't even remember to be grateful to him either. And that's why we don't only give it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have an obligation to give him a lot. But the Ribono Shel Olam himself wants us to give to others as well. Is this supposed to be a 45 minute or an hour? What? I see people are starting to walk out, which is fine. But, okay, so we're going to end at 10 o'clock. A lot more to say. You know, what's fascinating to me is, the Medrash writes, I know we're learning a lot of Midrash from today, but the Medrash has many fascinating comments throughout Chumash. And here, if you look on the second side of the page, in the Shmos Rabbah, the Medrash writes in Parshas Kisisa, L'cho Hashem atzdaka v'lona boshes hapanim. That is a famous comment that we say in Slichos. So in Chodesh Elul, we all hear this pasuk quoted many, many times, but the Medrash writes, what does it mean that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are someone that we are embarrassed, we are ashamed in your presence? Why? Says the Medrash, Yisrael over in Bayam, you have the Jewish people coming out of Mitzrayim. And before they left, they cleared out Egypt from all the riches, from everything, and God made unbelievable miracles for them. This was the most improbable and plausible thing you can ever imagine. And yet, it happened. And as they're going through, it says, V'kaspo shel pesel micha over bayam. Can you imagine? As they're walking, holding the gifts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their hands, you're a rich man, you have everything God can ever give you. You are blessed, you're finally free. God just did the miracle of Kriyas Yamsev, and you have the Jews holding pesel micha as they're walking through the Yamsev. How amazing is that? L'cha Hashem atzdaka v'lanu boshes hapanim. Now you'll say, okay, they were crazy. What's wrong with these people? But I think about that comment often. It's not so crazy. How often we use the gifts that God gives us, we don't always use them properly. L'cha Hashem atzdaka, v'lanu boshes hapanim. Look at the next medrash here, number ches, where the medrash says, Ata motze biyom sheyarad haman liYisrael. Not haman. On the day that the man was delivered to the Jewish people. What a great miracle. Bo bayom of the Yisrael of Anazara. On that day, the Jewish people in the desert, who had Anani HaKavod, who had the man, who had the slow, who had the be'er, everything. Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron, HaKohen, Miriam, Anavia, all of that. On that same day that they got the man, they served Abadazara. Not only that, they took the man and offered it as a sacrifice to the Abadazara. Amazing. So not only to be ungrateful, but to then turn around and spit back in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's face and pretend as if he doesn't exist at all. Well, says the Medrash, it all starts with a person who doesn't realize that they need to recognize all of the forces in their lives. It starts with a Paro who says, Asher lo yadas Yosef. It leads to Paro later on saying, Lo yadati es Hashem. Starts with Adam HaRishon saying, Ha'isha Asher nasati, I didn't really need this, I didn't want it, I didn't ask for it. And it leads to a generation of people saying, we are the B'nai HaAdam who don't believe in God himself, who revolt against God himself. So I know that we only have 5 minutes left. Let me just close with one final comment, and that is, when all the Shvatim are born, so you'll notice, obviously, that Leah had many children. Rachel was not blessed with all of those children in the beginning. And this was a very painful time for her. But when you contrast the names that were given, you'll find something very strange. This is pointed out by the Balei HaTosfos in the commentary on Chumash. So if you look in number Yud Beis, we're told, Vatar od vateled bein. Here we have Rachel Imenu still doesn't have a child. Leah's having one after the other. Now she gives birth to a child and she says, Vatomer hapam odas Hashem alkein kara shemo Yehuda. She feels so overwhelmingly grateful. So she names him Yehuda. Vatamod mi levis. What does that mean? V'tamod miledes. She's now unable to have more children. How's that to be explained? If I name my child Yehuda, and the reason why I name him that is because every time I call his name in the playground, every time he's on the swings and I call out to him, I want to remind myself, Hapam Odes Hashem, I'm so grateful. Wouldn't God want to give that person more blessing, more children, more great things in life? Look at the way they react to blessing. Look what happens when they feel so grateful. So why is the immediate response, why is the immediate reaction, Vatamod Miledes? Leah now has an inability to have children. Why was that taken away from her? On the contrary, it should have been given at that point. So the Bali Atosis explain as follows. If you look at Rachel Imenu, when she has a child, after many years of waiting, so what does she name him? Yosef. And the Pasuk says two reasons why she names him Yosef. Asaf Elokim Escher Pasi, which to me is an amazing psychological analysis. If you've ever spoken or dealt with anybody who is going through challenging infertility, one of the words that you'll often hear them say is they feel ashamed, they feel humiliated, even though there's no reason to. Why is it humiliating that they can't have children? It's not their fault. They've done nothing wrong. But it's an often a sense of shame that they have. And we need to be supportive and helpful to those who are struggling. And it's more than we think. It's more people than we think. But I always am struck by the fact that Rachel Imenu, when she has a child, she says, Asaf Elokim Escher Pasi, I had so much shame living life without children. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally gave me a child, and I no longer have shame. It's amazing that so many thousands of years later, it's the same feeling. It's the same word. It's the same thought. But the second reason that she names him Yosef is because she offers it as a tefillah. Yosef Hashem li ben acher. I hope that this is just the beginning of my raising children. I hope that God will give me more. Now imagine you have a little child, comes home from school and he's all excited about something and he asks for a lollipop. You know, I have a problem. I can't say no. The kids are so cute. So they always know to come to me. So I say yes. Give him a lollipop. The second the kid gets a lollipop, he says, can I have another five? So you turn around and you say, what kind of kid is this? Look what I just did for you. I gave you a lollipop. I wasn't supposed to. Your response, instead of saying thank you, is, oh, can you give me a few more? It's like very inappropriate. So after all these years, Rachel Imenu finally is blessed with a child. And before anything else, she says, Yosef, give me another one. What do you mean, give me another one? Take it easy. First, enjoy this one. First, appreciate the blessing that you have. We'll talk about it some other time. What are you rushing? What kind of reaction is that? So it seems almost inappropriate. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives her more. And by Leah, who says, thank you, Hashem, for what I have, and I'm so grateful, the reaction to her is, V'tamon miledes, no more children for you. The Balei Atosis are troubled with this, and they explain so beautifully. Sometimes, when we have blessing in our lives, when we get a promotion at work, whatever it might be, we turn to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we say, okay, from here on, I got it. I'm good. I thank you very much for getting me to this place. Now my family is complete. Now my life is complete. Now my work experience is great. From here on in, I got you. Can step back. I'm okay. Leah, right, the Balei Atosis said, she looks at her family and says, wow, this is amazing. Look what I have. Hapam Odas Hashem, thank you very much. God, now you can check out. I'm good from here on in. I don't need you anymore. I'm very grateful. I thank you for what you've given me. From here on, I think I can manage. Rachel says, even when we have a moment of great excitement, even when we have a moment of great blessing in life, we never stop relying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We understand always that everything we have is only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. And yes, the minute she has a child, she says, Ribono Shel Olam, I know if I want anything else in my life, Yosef Hashem li ben acher, it's only going to be from you. It's not because now I'm a proud mother, it's not because now I feel that I'm confident and I can do anything in the world, no. I understand that any future success is only going to be dependent on your continued blessing, on your continued bracha that you shower upon myself and my family. You ever notice in Hallel when we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't just say all the wonderful praises throughout Hallel, but in the middle we also say, Ana Hashem Hoshiana. Because a Hallel is incomplete if you don't also recognize that going forward I continue to need the assistance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is never sufficient to just say thank you. The Ribbono Shel Olam is Makar HaBracha. The Ribbono Shel Olam has never-ending gifts and blessing and wonderful things that He can give to the world, that He can give to individuals. But He wants us to recognize, He wants us to understand that every moment of life is a gift. And when you stand up and you say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is not inappropriate to say, I hope you'll continue to take care of me. Adheina Azaruna Rachamecha, we say that the Ribbono Shel Olam has helped us until this point. But then we say, Ve'al Titshenu Hashem Elokeinu LaNetzach. You need to continue to provide for us. Yes, we've gotten to a great place. Yes, we are very successful as a people. Yes, we may have great success in business or whatever field we might be in. But we need to always say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ve'al Titshenu Hashem Elokeinu LaNetzach. And that, writes the Bali Atosis, was the mistake of Leah, as opposed to the way Rachel responded. At face value, it would seem Rachel was inappropriate. Leah seemed to be doing the right thing, but God says, "Vatamod miledes." You think that going forward you have yourself taken care of? You know what? I'm going to take away your ability to have children. I'll show you that without my constant involvement, nothing will happen. There will be no blessing in the world. There will be no blessing in your life. And that's what we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're thankful, we're grateful for everything we have. It's such an important part, as we said, we're all known as Yehudim. Such a critical part of who we are and what we represent. It's such a fundamental of truth that we believe in and that we always think about. But we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we've had an amazing history in the last 70 years. Think about how much the Jews have accomplished since the Holocaust. What an amazing world that we've built for ourselves. What an amazing gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us to build institutions and to build up Torah communities and to build up shuls and to build up everything that we have. It's such a dream that if you would have asked any of the survivors, they would have said, impossible. Never would have happened. And look at the successes. And look how many Nobel Awards, my father always talks about it from the Rav. Look how many disproportionate Nobel Awards the Jews have gotten in the world. Look how much we've integrated. Look how well we've done. Look how successful we've been. And sometimes it's at moments like that that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability to say, Vatamod miledes. Don't think that you have it all set. Lehodos ulahalo, you need to continue to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but an integral part of praise is also to add, Ana Hashem Hoshiana, Ana Hashem Hatzlichana. We thank you for everything we have, but we ask you to continue to provide for us, for our community, and for our family. So I take this opportunity once again to thank all of you for coming today, to wish all of you a wonderful day off from work. I hope everybody has some time to spend with family or whoever it is that you plan to spend the day with, and that we should have the opportunity to continue to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the wonderful gifts that He gives us in our lives, and to ask Him to be Mevakish Al Ha'asa, to ask Him in the future that He should continue to provide for all of us. B'al Titshenu Hashem Elokeinu LaNetzach. Wish all of you a wonderful day. Okay.